Okay, today we're going to do Chaf and Beis. We're already well into Chaf and Beis. We're already at the third medium-sized line on Daf Chaf and Beis. So says the Gemara, V'chein ir sheyesh ba devar ha-mapolis. The Mishnah had said that a city that has a plague or buildings caving in, and all that city should fast and should cry out, but all the neighboring cities should fast, but they don't have to cry out. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Mapolis sha'amru. This mapolis that we're talking about, that they have to cry out for it right away, that they have to cry out for it right away. Brios v'lo ru'uos are healthy and not shaky walls. She'in ru'uos lipol, meaning they're walls that should not have been caving in. If it was walls that should have been caving in, so then it's no wonder that they fell. Meaning you got to take care of the buildings in your city. If they're dilapidated, obviously they're going to cave in eventually. But we're talking about it's a sign from God when it's walls that shouldn't be caving in. V'lo ru'uos lipol, these are not walls that should have been, again. They're not bad. They're in ru'il sleepal. They're not ones that are ru'il sleepal. I don't know why the double expression. Hei nihu brios. What does it mean? It's a strong wall. Hei nihu she'in ru'il sleepal. And what does it mean that it's not ra'ui to cave in? And hei nihu ru'uos, which ones are considered bad walls? Hei nihu ru'il sleepal, which walls are considered to be ra'ui to cave in? So the Gemara answered, meaning why does it repeat everything? Everything is said twice. So it says Mar l'tzricha, z'naflu machmas govhayhu, that sometimes walls cave in because they're too high, even though they're pretty strong, but just they can't handle the height. Inami dekaimen aguda denhara, or they're by the riverbank, so even though they're strong walls, but the foundations are weak because it's on wet ground. It's like it's built on water, so that's not going to work. So once the Gemara explains how you could have a house that's strong but still is roi to fall down, the Gemara explains how you could have a house that's bad that's not roi to fall down, and the Gemara proves this from a story. Kena yashi. So there was a wall, Ru'ua Davi ben Arda, bad wall in the town of Narda. Zala v'chalif Rav Shmuel Tusa. Rav and Shmuel were very careful. They would never walk under that wall. Afligav dekaima ba'aswa t'leis harshanin. Even though it hadn't moved for 13 years, so people assumed that it's not going to fall down because it was staying in its spot for 13 years. Yom echad ikla Rav Adabar Ava lahasam. One time Rav Adabar Ava was going there. Amalei Shmuel l'Rav. So Shmuel said to Rav, Nesi mar nakif. You better go around this area like we always do, and not walk right by the wall. Amalei lo tzrich ne'idna. So Rav said to Shmuel, now this time we're allowed to walk right next to the wall. You know why? Dika Rav Adabar Ava ba'adan d'nafesh sechusei. Because Rav Adabar Ava is under the wall, and it will never fall if he's under there, because he has such sechuyos, he's such a tzaddik. V'lo mistafina. So we have nothing to worry about when you have such a tzaddik that's going to be protected. I remember, I think it was by Hurricane Irene, when they were evacuating the area, and a lot of people didn't go on the evacuation. And a lot of didn't listen to the evacuation notice, and Baruch Hashem didn't turn out to be as bad as we thought it would be. People did okay, and a lot of people were being mechal Shabbos though to evacuate. A lot of people weren't evacuating, sort of by force. A big Talmud Chacham in Far Rockaway was saying how he didn't think it was worth being mechal Shabbos for. He didn't think it was sakonas nefashos. So I spoke to Rav Schechter about it. He said, doesn't Rabbi Forst realize the only reason nothing happened was because a great tzaddik like Rabbi Forst was still in the town? Had he left, then maybe it could have been a big sakana. But you know that it was only because of his zechus, because he's such a big tzaddik, that it didn't happen. Very unusual way to think about things, like this Gemara that Rav says, don't worry, Rav Adabar Rav is under that wall, so we have nothing to worry about over here. Gemara brings a similar story that that they relied on Rav Adabar Ava that a wall wasn't going to fall down. Rav Huna havaleyahu chamra. Rav Huna had some wine, but ubeisa ri'ia, that was in a bad house, a house that could have fallen in. Ubay lefnuye, so he wanted to take out the wine. Ailel Rav Adabar Ava lahasam. He brought Rav Adabar Ava into the house to take out the wine. Mashche b'shmait, and he started talking to him and learning. Adepanye, until he finished taking out the wine. So he's like walking with Rav Adabar Ava and talking to him and learning as he's schlepping out all of his wine. So basa. Once he left for the final time and he finished, he cleared out all the wine, nafal beisa, so right away the house caved in. So they used Rav Adabar Rava as like a protection. Argish Rav Adabar Rava v'ikpid. Rav Adabar Rava realized what was going on. He's like, wait, they're using me. And he got all upset. What's going on? Because he held like Rabbi Yanai taught, and we'll make this a major concept, that a person should not put himself in a dangerous situation, the Yomar, and say, Osun Linais, they're going to make a miracle for me. Because Shema Ein Osun Linais, maybe Hashem won't make a miracle for you. I don't know why it's a plural, Osin, they will make. Vim Tim Tzalomar Osun Linais, Menachin Lo Mizuch Yosef. And even even if a miracle does happen, it's going to take away from one's zechuyos. Amar Rav Chanan, my crow, what's the pasuk that teaches us that? Tichsiv, because by Yaakov Avinu, before he meets Esav, he says, katonti mikol ha-chesed mikol ha-emes, that I'm small because of all the chesed, meaning, Hashem, you're doing so much chesed with me, and you're helping me out, and you're saving me time and time again. It's making me smaller. My zechuyos are shrinking because of that. So, let's main point over here would be Rav Ada bar Ava was such a great tzaddik that they assumed no house would cave in if he was there. No house or wall would cave in if he was there. But he wasn't comfortable relying on that. So again, Rav Ada bar Ava was such a great tzaddik, they assumed no house or wall would cave in if he was there, but he wasn't comfortable relying on that. Once the Gemara brings the great zechus of Rav Ada bar Ava, the Gemara explains, "May have uvdei to Rav Ada bar Ava. What was the story of Rav Ada bar Ava that he was zochet to this? Ki adi itmar, meaning that he was zochet to be known as this big tzaddik that nothing would ever happen to him. So it was, the story went like this: Ki adi itmar shalu talmidav leRav Ada bar Ava. The talmidim asked Rav Ada bar Ava, "Bameha erachta yamin? What did you do that you were zochet to live a long life?" Amar lahem, he said, "Miyamai lo hikpadti b'toch besi. I would never get angry or upset inside my house. I would never make people in my house fear me. My children were never afraid of me. My wife is never afraid of me. I never walked in front of a person who is greater than I am." The Gemara in Yuma says if three people are walking on a road, the greatest one should be in the middle, and the Rebbe in the middle, the greater Talmud on the right, and even together, but he never walked in front of his Rebbe, even one step. And I never thought about Divrei Torah in dirty areas where you're not supposed to be thinking and learning. That's a Gemara in Brachas Tav Chav Dalid. And I never walked 4 amos without Torah and without tefillin, because all day I was learning and all day I had tefillin. Some point out that's the kunz of the previous one. I mean, what's the big deal that I also don't think about Torah in dirty places? In fact, I'm so machmir, I don't think about Torah in clean places either. So what's the big deal? He didn't think about Torah in dirty places. No, the point is, he didn't think about Torah in dirty places, but he never went 4 amos without Torah. So he was someone who was obsessed with Torah. His mind was always thinking about Torah, but he still had the self-control not to think about Torah in dirty places. So that's the greatness. And he didn't sleep a permanent sleep, nor even a temporary sleep in the Beis Medrash. I never celebrated the downfall or the stumbling of my friend. And I never called my friend by a nickname. Varmila, some say Bahachinaso, some say Bahanichaso, an extra family name that they would call him. So once the Gemara tells us all of these great practices of Rav Ada bar Ava, and I guess we might as well make that a main point. Main point, Rav Ada bar Ava's many great practices, so let's number them. Number one, that he never got angry in his house. Number two, never walked in front of someone who's greater than him. Number three, never thought Torah in a dirty place. Number four, never went 4 amos without Torah and tefillin. Number five, never slept in a Beis Medrash at all. Number six, never celebrated someone else stumbling. And number seven, never called someone else by a nickname, by a derogatory name. So once we bring the story that Rav Huna relied on the zechus of Rav Ada, that the house wouldn't fall in, the Gemara tells us a little bit about how great a person Rav Huna himself was, that you shouldn't think that Rav Huna wasn't so great, and that's why he didn't want to rely on his own zechus. You should know that he was very great. He was just a very humble person. That's why he didn't want to rely on his own zechus. So let's see that story. Amr le Rav l'Rafim bar Papa. Rav tells Rafim bar Papa, Lemelan mar mehani mili mal yisadava avid Rav Huna. Tell us some good Rav Huna stories. We love Rav Huna stories. So Amr le biankusei. So Rav Bar Papa says, oh, when Rav Huna was young, lo dechirna, I don't remember any good stories about him when he was young, but b'tzivusei, when he was old, dechirna, those stories I remember because that was more recent. To kol yom de'eva, every cloudy day that the wind was blowing and we were afraid that the walls were going to cave in, havu mafkin le, b'goharka de'dahava, they would bring Rav Huna out in a carriage of gold, v'sir le l'kula masa, and he would go around the whole area and he would check the whole city, v'kala shisa de'havas re'isa, and any wall that looked shaky, like it was going to cave in, havasasula, he would break down the wall so that the wind shouldn't break the wall and hurt somebody. E.F. Shalomara, if it was in the hands of the owner had, yeah, I'm sorry, E. Efchar Lamara, if it was possible for the owner of the wall to build it because they were able to afford it, Banila, so they would build it. Vilo Efchar, Banila Ihu Midide. If the owner of that wall couldn't afford to replace the wall because he just didn't have enough money to do it, so Rav Huna would take care of the expenses. So how great was Rav Huna? Rav Huna was so concerned about public welfare that he went around inspecting the whole city before a major storm, and those walls that were bad, that people couldn't afford to replace, even though legally they were obligated to replace so it didn't hurt anybody, he would pay for it out of pocket. That was the story of Rav Huna. So then the Gemara tells another story that Rafam said by Rav Huna. V'kolpanya demali Shabbosa, every Erev Shabbos, have Meshad Shluch Lashuka, he would send a Shliach to the market, the Kol Yarka Davapayish Luluginai Zavanai, and any vegetable that was left by the salesman that the guy couldn't sell in time for Shabbos, Rav Huna would buy, Veshadi Leilanara, and he would throw it into the river, because he didn't want the salesman to be left with Schora on Shabbos. Because then the next week they're going to be left. They're going to say, you know what? I didn't sell out last week. I'll bring less stuff. And if he brings less schora next Shabbos, he brings less stuff next Shabbos. Then people aren't going. There may not be enough for everybody. So v'lisvei la'aniyim. So the Gemara says, but why would he throw it in the river? It's baltashlis. Just give it to the poor people. So zimnan d'samcha da'atayhu v'lo asa l'mizban. He was afraid that if he gives it to the poor people, they're going to start to rely on it, and then they're not going to buy their own Shabbos needs. And some Shabbosos. He's not going to be able to get enough for them, and they're going to be relying on it, and then they're all going to starve on Shabbos. So it says, Rav Lishadi Lebehema. Okay, so at least give it to animals. Why do you have to throw it in the river? Kasavar Machalad Min Machin Lebehema. He held that it's not right to give human food to animals because it's degrading to the food to give it. It's like telling Hashem, you don't care about the favors and the nice things He does for us. He gives us such good food, and here we are just throwing it to the animals. V'lo Lizbenei Klal. So why did he buy these vegetables in the first place? The Gemara says, Nimses Machshilan Lasadav. For the reason that we said before, because he was afraid if he didn't buy it, then the sellers weren't going to bring as much next week, and it was going to be a problem. So then the Gemara brings a third story that Rafram told about Rav Huna. So this is story number three now. And third story is Ki Havale Milsa da Asusa, when he had an illness that he needed refua, Havi Male Kuza de Maya, who'd fill up a kli of water with medicine, Vitalile Bisipa de Besa, and he would put it by the opening of the house, Vamra called the Bay Lesi Vilishkal, and he would say, anyone who's suffering from the illness can come and take medicine. Vikadam, the others say, Milsa de Shivsa have a gamir. He knew exactly how the shadim worked, the certain shade named Shivsa, which was mazik to anyone who would eat without washing their hands. Vavmanach Kuza de Maya Vidalile. And he would put out a pitcher of water, and he would hang it by the door. And he would say, anyone who wants to come can come wash their hands, do netilas yadayim, so you won't be in danger. Now we're up to a fourth story about Rav Huna. Ki avakarach rifta, when he would sit down to eat his bread, have a pasach levaveh, he would open up the doorway to his house, v'amar, kol man ditzrich leisei v'leichol, sounds like Pesach, he would say, anyone who needs should come and eat. Amar Rava kula matzina mikamayna, he says, all of these good things that Rav Huna did, I could do them too, levar meha, except for the fact that he invites the whole world to his seudos, delo mitzina mavid. Rava says, I can't do that, mishum denefishi b'necheil de machuza, because there are so many poorest people in machuza, it would be very, very hard for me to invite everybody. But the rest of those hanhagos, I think I could take on those practices also. So last main point of the daf over here, four beautiful stories about Rav Huna. One, how he would take care of all the walls of the city. Second, about how he would buy out all the vegetables on Erev Shabbos. Third, how he would provide medication or water for Netilas Yadayim for a whole city. And fourth, how he always invited everybody, the whole world, to all of his meals. Those are four great stories about Rav Huna. We will stop there, and Be'ezras Hashem, next time we will pick up on Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, as the stories keep on coming.